Victor knows the fine details of insuring firms like yours. For over 60 years, Victor has provided outstanding service and broad, flexible, and innovative professional liability solutions to engineering firms and ACEC members. As a Victor insured, you have access to free, on-demand continuing education courses, automated contract reviews, and endless risk management tools and resources to help manage projects and grow your business. Visit www.victorinsuranceus.com/ACEC to learn more.
Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies, coming to you from the 2021 Fall Conference in Marco Island, Florida. Engineering Influence is brought to you at the conference by Victor Insurance Managers, one of the largest and most experienced underwriting managers of professional liability and specialty insurance programs in the world. And I am joined right now with Alan Douglas from ACEC Florida with some breaking news, quite honestly. We talked to Alan a little bit earlier in the week and knew that he was planning to put out a press release regarding what has been top of mind for a lot of people, especially in the structural engineering area in Surfside and what happened in South Florida. And the press release was issued today by the Associated Press and in papers across the country. And pretty much the title is Engineers Call for More Inspections After Condo Collapse. Alan, how did this come about? And, you know, what are you looking to accomplish with the release that you put out today?
Okay, well, first of all, Jeff, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Welcome to Florida.
I will tell you, thank you for hosting us on a beautiful week. It's even though it's a little overcast, it is not October in D.C., and I will take that any day of the week.
Yeah, it's a wonderful property, and I like to tell people, you know, I live in Tallahassee, so yeah. I'm actually a seven-hour drive away from here. I do not live in an area like this, but anyway, good to see you. We sent out a press release this morning with our report that contains recommendations for our legislature to deal with this issue that was brought into focus by Surfside. Our goal in this was not to try to determine what happened with the Surfside Tower. That's a subject of an investigation that's probably going to go on for another year or more. It wasn't our goal to do that. It just brought focus to an issue that I think is a problem here in Florida, but I don't think it's a Florida specific problem. No. These buildings, high-rise buildings, especially condominiums, that have been standing for decades and have not been properly maintained. Mm-hmm. In addition to Surfside, we've had probably at least a half dozen condominiums that I know of that have been evacuated since then because of their condition. And this comes about in large part, although our recommendations apply to all buildings over a certain height and occupancy requirement, it really highlights the problem with the condominiums and the way they're structured and their governance, because you have a board of directors that's a group of tenants that, you know, most times don't know very much about managing a building, and they're being funded by a group of people who want to keep their dues as low as possible. And so what that does is, you know, over time, and we saw it, you know, this at Surfside, is that the buildings are not properly maintained. And by the time they get to it and they find out what the repair cost is, it's very, very expensive on the tenants to take care of. So we came up with a system that's really designed. We're not trying to tell people how to maintain their buildings. It's really designed so that when, a building is out there and it's not been properly maintained and it's been standing there for decades, that building can be identified before mm-hmm. the problems become so bad that it collapses.
Yeah.
So on our recommendations, it would be, at least the 30th year after, the building is occupied, that a building would be inspected. If it's inland, it's 20 years on the coast. And then every 7 years after that for the buildings on the coast, every 10 for the ones inland. Mm-hmm. If a building's been properly maintained, these for the phase one inspection is just a visual inspection. It's not very expensive. We wanted to keep the cost, wanted to keep those in mind. So it's not very expensive. If they find something there, they go to phase two. They do a more extensive inspection, and recommend the repairs, and you know, obviously that's going to vary. Yeah. But again, it's not we weren't trying to tell people how to maintain their buildings. But you know, obviously, 30 years is a long time. They should be inspected more often than that. But we want to identify the buildings that are problematic at some point along the way. Surfside was the tower was 40 years old, and they were in the middle of a recertification, which is required in Broward County. And they were working on the roof, and they were doing things that had been identified as needing repair, but they had $15 million worth of repairs.
Exactly.
And it fell before they could get those done.
And you raise a really good point, because you just have that issue of deferred maintenance just continues to grow and grow and grow. If you have a condo board that is interested in maintaining low dues for, the owners of the condo, and it doesn't, it's not, if their interest is trying to keep their costs low because of other costs that are going up around them, then, they might not be as inclined to say, yes, we are going to, spend the money to be proactive to take care of the, the potential deferred maintenance. But having something that actually says, we have to do this every so often.
There was a great article, right, probably back in late June or July, right after this happened, that was written in The Atlantic. Mm-hmm. I forget the author's name, but really dove into this issue of the condo associations. And the average condo owner owns their condo for 10 years. They don't want to be putting money in reserves for something that's going to occur 30 years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, they try to keep those as low as possible. And we really didn't get into that part of this either. The Florida Bar Association has done their own review and issued their own report. We'll let the condo associations and the lawyers and the property insurers determine, what reserves need to be held and that sort of thing. We just tried to stay cognizant of the cost and come out with some recommendations that, our fear is this is going to happen again, and a lot of people have that fear, and we want to try to avoid that. And our recommendations are designed to identify the problem buildings and so that they can be repaired.
And you make a really good point. It's just not condos. It is those office buildings. It's other structures that are either susceptible to seawater damage or saltwater damage.
Right.
I mean, just given Florida's kind of unique geography, and just how it's out, it's situated. It's important to not just get, I know the national conversation is focused on Surfside as a condominium building, but it's just not the only thing you have to be cognizant of.
The governance structure is problematic. I mean, it's obvious, you know, but that doesn't mean, typically, most of the time I would think that, when you've got a owner of an office building or an apartment complex or something like that, that's an asset they want to take care of, but they don't all do. I mean, we all know stories of building owners who neglect their properties. So they're included in this,
Exactly.
It would be just as tragic if an office tower fell as it would be if a condo did. But the condos really stand out because of that governance structure.
Yeah. So how do you think this is going to be received in Tallahassee?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. There's a number of legislators that want to wait for the investigation to be done on Surfside before they do anything. Our point is kind of, that this is an issue that could have been discussed at any time prior to Surfside. And in fact, it was. There was a law passed in 2006, I believe. I know it was repealed in 2008. That required the condos to be inspected every 5 years. Mm-hmm. And under pressure from the condo associations, they repealed that law in 2008. Had that law been in effect,
that would have actually...
Surfside would have been inspected 3 times since then.
Yeah.
And more than likely would still be standing. So they've addressed this issue in the past, and we don't feel, that we're going so deep here that, it's something that we're doing because of Surfside. It's just these buildings need to be identified in the state of Florida, and they need to be repaired. So we go through the 20 or 30 year thing, and one of the key things we recommend though is that the building owner will pay for the inspections, but when the report is done, the duty of the engineer or architect doing the inspection is to the building official.
Yes.
So when they issue the report, it's issued to the building owner and to the building official at the same time. So there's nothing going on back there that, I paid you thousands of dollars for this report.
You have transparency on that, and it goes both to the public official and also to the...
Or they put it in a drawer, and then after the building official gets it, if there's serious problems with the building, it has to be documented on the front, on the first page of the report, so the building official knows. But the building official is then charged with making sure any recommended repairs are completed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was obviously a problem at Surfside as well. They had a report several years ago, and they were just getting around to making the repairs.
Yeah. So this is going to be a developing thing. I would imagine that, you're getting national coverage on this. This is something which is just not Florida. I mean, it's been picked up in national press. The Associated Press ran the release. A number of other news organizations have picked it up as well. So I would not be surprised to see some reporting on this beyond today and bringing this issue back up and that national spotlight being put back on to this issue in Florida. So it's great to have the opportunity to talk to you because you're driving this conversation in Florida, and it's a conversation that should be had really nationwide because it's not, you know, certain situations exist outside of Florida where this could happen again, and we don't want it to happen again.
Right. We've got a lot of coastline in the United States, but it's not the salt water, obviously, causes deterioration faster. That's why we've set it up like this. But this is an issue, you know, that's probably nationwide, depending on the state's condominium laws and those sorts of things. But I've been talking to my colleagues from ACEC around this conference, and I've yet to find one where they have a statewide requirement for existing building inspections. I'm aware of some cities that do, New York City and Chicago and some others, on high-rise buildings, but nothing that's, you know, I haven't found it yet. I'm not saying there's not one, but I haven't found anybody yet that's got that once they turn the keys over, it's up to the owner, and that's obviously not the right way to go.
Well, if you're here at the conference and you want to talk to Alan, grab him. He'll be here. And beyond that, two great organizations. You have ACEC Florida, and then Florida Engineering Society.
Right.
Alan Douglas is in charge of both, and he's a very, very busy man. But we do appreciate him taking a couple moments out of his day to do this. Let's stay, you know, in touch on this and let's get an update if any news breaks down after, you know, this kind of new spike in media attention. If there's action in Tallahassee or with Governor DeSantis, let us know.
This is going to go on for quite some time. You know, we'll have the investigation come out. Our report also includes ICC, the International Code Council, is currently working on recommendations for existing building inspections that they would like to see as an appendix to our building code. We would like it put in the building code. As an appendix, it'll be optional to the building officials. It needs to be in the code, and these buildings need to be looked at periodically.
Well, we will stay on top of it. Alan, thank you very much for being on the show, and have a great week, and thank you again for hosting us here.
Thanks for having me, and great to have you all down.
Great. Thanks, Alan. Right. And again, this has been Engineering Influence Podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies, brought to you by Victor Insurance Underwriters. We'll see you next time.